Lord Jesus Christ, King of endless glory. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John. Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, "If you remain in my word, you will truly be my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." They answered him, "We are descendants of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How can you say you will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Amen, amen, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave of sin. A slave does not remain in the household forever, but a son always remains. So if the Son frees you, then you will be truly free. I know you are descendants of Abraham, but you are trying to kill me, because my word has no room among you. I tell you what I have seen in the Father's presence. Then do what you have heard from the Father." They answered and said to him, "Our father is Abraham." Jesus said to them, "If you were Abraham's children, you would be doing the works of Abraham. But now you are trying to kill me, a man who told you the truth that I heard from God. Abraham didn't do this. You are doing the works of your father." So they said to him, "We were not born of fornication. We have one father, God." Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, you would love me, for I came from God and am here. I did not come on my own. He sent me." The Gospel of the Lord. The holy season of Lent is one of liberation. It's a journey. We retrace with the new Moses the liberation from slavery to sin. We go through the desert. We go through the waters of baptism as he seeks to lead us into the promised land of communion with God here. He tries to take us to God's dwelling and help us to remain there and receive all the fruits that God wishes to bestow upon us in that land flowing with far more than milk and honey. It's retracing the steps of the prodigal son. The practices that are given to us in Lent help us in this liberation. God seeks to free us from our exaggerated addiction to ourselves through prayer, putting him first, through fasting, so that we might not be slaves to our appetites, through almsgiving, in which we are led on the exodus of charity. Lent is all about this type of liberation, as Christ leads us from slavery to true freedom. Today in the readings, we have three different aspects of that exodus. The first is faith. Jesus refers to Abraham and the works of Abraham, which is the works of faith, which we read about this morning in the letter to the Hebrews in the office of readings. In the first reading, we see what faith does in these three men thrown into the fiery furnace. They had trust in God. There's that beautiful dialogue when Nebuchadnezzar is threatening them to worship the golden statue he has set up. And he asks, "Who is the God who can deliver you out of my hands?" As if there were no one greater than Nebuchadnezzar himself, not even any possible God. And they responded with great faith, a faith that freed them from fear of Nebuchadnezzar, freed them from fear of suffering and the enormous suffering of being burned to death, freed them from the fear of death, and freed them even from the fear or even from presumption. If our God whom we serve can save us from the white hot furnace, from your hands, O King, may he save us. But even if he will not, know, O King, that we will not serve your God or worship the golden statue that you set up. It's such a trust in God that his will would be done. May he save them, they were asking. But they weren't presuming that he would. They weren't going to toss themselves from a parapet, but they weren't going to betray him, no matter what the threat. There was a loyalty built into that faith, and their fidelity was matched by God's fidelity. And when God kept them free from harm in the seven times hotter white furnace, I don't quite know how you calculate that, especially in the ancient world, but nevertheless, let's just leave that aside. Nebuchadnezzar asked his nobles, "Didn't we cast three men into the fire? But I see four men unfettered and hurt, walking. And the fourth looks like an angel, looks like a son of God." And then he praised the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel to liberate the servants who trusted in him, that even he, in all his arrogance, was able to see that faith in these three men. He hadn't recognized it quite before. He had trampled it throughout. But their faith was one that brought him to what we would call the vestibule of faith. That's the first way that we are liberated, by a trust in God above our fears. Second, Jesus says, happens through his holy word. This beautiful progression here in St. John that is very good for us to know for our own growth in faith, for growth in formation, which is continuous. Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, remember, not the ones who were his critics, the ones who had some type of faith, the ones who were following him, the ones following him in sense, following him at a distance, the ones who were not dismissing him, but were fascinated by his words. These were the Jews Jesus was speaking to. If you remain in my word, you will truly be my disciples. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Jesus was trying to take them to true faith. He was trying to liberate them, because he recognized that right now they were slaves to their preconceptions of how the Messiah should be and behave. So Jesus first says, remain in my word. That is an action verb. In English, some of the times we would treat remain almost as if it were intransitive. It's not. It's an action verb. It's a choice. God gives us his word. We're called to cling to it. We're called constantly to choose to immerse ourselves in it. A lot of the times we hear it, but it slides through the other ear. We just don't really hang on it the way that we ought to. But it's the first step in our overcoming our following whims to all earthly gurus, is to remain in the word of the Lord, because that is the way we follow God. It's not like Jesus appears to us 24/7 and just says, do this, come, follow me. He has us follow him by remaining in his word, which is why the liturgy of the word at the beginning of the day is just so key for us to experience this type of freedom. If you remain in my word, you will truly be my disciple. That's when we'll be students of the master. That's when we'll be the ones who follow him all the way. Begins by our contact with that word. We're not yet his disciples until we are remaining in his word as a choice, a constant choice, as a total way of life. When we are his disciples through remaining in his word, then we will know the truth. not as a series of facts, but there will be interpersonal knowledge with the one who is the truth incarnate, to know the truth, kenosure, konyasir, konethra, in the Romance languages, to know the truth the way that we know a friend, the way that Adam knew Eve. That's what Jesus calls us to with the truth, because when we are and we have that type of love for the one who is the truth, then we will be free, even in the midst of all that the father of lies seeks to accomplish. This is the means by which the truth sets us free, by remaining in his word, following it, and becoming one with it. What an extraordinary challenge that is, and it's a lifetime challenge. That's why the word of God is just indispensable for us to become true experts of it. You know, I was remembering something that Pope Benedict said to the priests in Krakow. He said, at the end of the day, the people of God really don't expect you to be experts in everything. Some might challenge you to be an expert in construction and money management and time management and any other problem they bring to you. But when push comes to shove, he said, what they really expect and demand justly is that you are experts in God. Experts in the ways of God, experts in the Word of God. And we can adapt that, sister. You've got so many different tasks that you have to do as a sister of life, especially in this convent. You know that. Lots of different needs. But more than anything else, the people who come to you don't expect you to be expert social workers. Don't expect you to be general contractors. They do expect you to be experts in the love of God. Expert, somebody who's able to bring God to them, and this happens in the liberation that they most need, is to know that God is real. And by your remaining in his word, becoming Jesus' disciple, becoming one with the truth, you're able to be Jesus' instrument to lead them on that same exodus, which is what they need the most. The third means of liberation, and all three of these go together, from trust to the Word of God to this, is divine filiation. Jesus gets into this dialogue at the end of the passage. If the Son frees you, you will be truly free. A slave doesn't remain in the household forever, but a son always does. It's not just obeying the Word of God, like the old son in the parable of the prodigal son. Not once did I disobey your orders. He didn't realize quite who he was as a son of the Father, much loved. Divine filiation. They claimed our father is Abraham. But Jesus said, no, even though you're descendants of Abraham, you're not sons of Abraham, because you're not the heirs of his trust in God. And he concluded by saying, you are doing the works of your Father. And in the passage immediately after this in St. John's Gospel, which the church doesn't give us, is he says, you are sons of the Father of lies. So do the works of your Father. You're living a lie. Rather than remaining in the Word, you're fleeing from it. Rather than truly being my disciples, you're just faking as if you believe in me, because deep down inside you don't. Rather than loving the truth, you're pre-selecting aspects of the truth and elevating them to this stage of falsehood. And you're not free, but you're slaves. You think you're free. The devil continues to lie to you as if you're free. But you're not free. Divine filiation is the culmination of our liberation. That we know that the Father deeply loves us, and that he didn't even spare his own son but handed him over for us all. Once we grasp that, then we can become fearless because we know he's counted every hair, that he cares for us more than the lilies and the sparrows. And if he didn't even spare his own son but handed him over for us all, he would give us everything else besides. Lenten liberation. This is the journey that we are on. And every Mass is a mini Lent. We begin by placing our trust in God. We hear his word, not just as part of a liturgical rite, but so that we can remain in it. And we become ever more united to Jesus and his divine filiation by the Holy Communion we receive. If you remain in my word, you will truly be my disciples. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. For freedom, Christ has set us free.